Welcome, everybody. Ray Adams, Great American Golf Radio Show. And I'm your caddy for the show every minute, all hour, 25 years, right here on this radio podcast and airing on the Golf News Net, golfnewsnet.com, and then all over to your favorite audio platforms, iHeart, iTunes, Amazon Music, Spotify, Pandora, la la la. We could name them all, but that's it. Back home from the Ryder Cup, back in the studio. Ryder Cup in the history books, but still going and going and going. We're going to talk about it today. We're sorry for the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show a few days ago from New York City. We attempted the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, the internet at my hotel, and you know, what are you going to do? You're a hostage. Nothing you can do when the internet is so bad, so bad. And we tried on and off for 3 hours to do the show at a major, major, major hotel company. I'm not going to name them, but they're the biggest in the world. And all I know is we were not able to get a show off. Thank you, Ryan Ballingy at the Golf News Net. He tried every which way to get it pieced together. Couldn't happen. So we're all good. Today is it. Great American Golf. We're going to do another wrap-up show for the Ryder Cup Monday, day after tomorrow, on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And then, yes, we'll do one more wrap-up show 1 week from today on Great American Golf Radio, as we're doing today. It's my birthday. I'll cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to you. Right, Bob? Do you know that song, Teresa Brewer?
By a different tune, yes.
Well, yeah, I'm not a singer, but you would cry. So it's Bob Denny. He's our PGA Emeritus Historian. Craig Renshaw, our PGA lifer. He's our guy. He is our PGA of America instructor, analyst, and all things good. Well, 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 gentlemen, welcome to the show. I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes. I wore my Speed Mesh, Craig. I don't know what you're wearing as you're teaching. I know they sent you some shoes. Bob, we got to get you a pair. We got to get you into Squares when you're out at the course. But I wore my Speed Mesh everywhere, all over the place. So comfortable. And lots to talk about when you talk about Squares golf shoes. I mean, Squares has the toe. Squares has the wider footprint inside. Squares has now gone to all the awards that they've won. You know, they're big on the official footwear in the minor league for baseball. They're the official shoe of the Diamond Allegiance, the official shoe of the HSBNCS, the official footwear partner Perfect Game. Squares has really taken over the baseball space. They have the pickleball shoe and, of course, the golf shoe forever. You know, we've been with Squares from the very beginning when it was just a golf shoe. They had a crazy idea that stability, balance, and a roomier toe base would unlock more ground force. Well, it did. Gave everybody more distance. They disrupted the market. And from now on, you need to get to Squares, S-Q-A-I-R-Z, squares.com. And you're going to find all of the accolades, all of the reviews, everything you could ever imagine at squares.com. And they're bringing us this segment today, and we appreciate them so much. All right, Craig. We're
yes,
a few days away from the Ryder Cup, and Don Rae has been under fire. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Americans have been under fire. The Europeans have been minimalized in many ways. Bethpage didn't do well. The location, the prices, the tickets, the the event, food, drinks. I mean, it went, I could go on down the line of all of the terrible, bad, and negative. I don't want to do that. I want to stay positive in some regard, but we have to go there for a moment or 10. So, Craig, let me start with you. What in the Sam Hill happened having a Ryder Cup at Bethpage? What's your take?
Well, I mean, it's been a few days, and you and I chatted a little bit yesterday, I believe, and I just think there has been a lack of leadership from my organization and a lack of awareness and of understanding of how bad of a presentation this was over the last weekend. They failed to acknowledge it. And they did acknowledge it to us PGA members. And Bob got a copy of it yesterday. We got a letter out saying, that we made some bogeys and we own up to our bogeys. But it only took that after getting a ton of grief. And the presentations that were given to us as far as the leadership, as far as it's all smiles and things aren't really that bad when they are that bad. This is supposed to be arguably the premier golf event, and it came off as something that was done at your, and I don't mean to offend anybody, your local muni between two golf leagues that have had two keggers out drinking for the past 8 or 9 hours. It was a really sad display between the way the golf course was set up, the way it was ran. I mean, there wasn't anything positive, right? And that's the part to me that is really, really sad, is that there's nothing that we can say that the PGA did that was, oh, that was well done. That was well done. And if I'm wrong, please have listeners contact you, contact me. Somebody say something positive. The weather was nice. Okay, great. But we had nothing to do with that. And thank goodness, because if we had had it to do, it would have rained or snowed up there.
Well, I must say we went with all kinds of rain gear and cooler weather gear, sweaters, coats, whatever. I want to thank Ashworth Golf for outfitting me. My goodness gracious, some of the most beautiful golf apparel on the planet, ashworth-golf.com. I mean, you got to go to Ashworth. They did outfit me, and I brought all the rain gear, outerwear, sweaters, long sleeve warm outerwear, squares, my speed mesh, wore them every minute, super comfortable. But you're right, the number one positive of the entire week was the weather. I mean, when I started doing videos and everything, we were there planning on rain, cooler weather, outerwear. No, it was beautiful. And by the way, we stayed in New York City for the last few days. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday, Ray. But I say that only to let everybody know that we celebrated my birthday in New York City the last few days. I went to Little Italy. I went to my favorite restaurant on the earth is Il Cortile on Mulberry Street. We thought it was going to rain. We thought it would be cold. We thought it would be windy. The weather was absolutely heavenly every single day at the 911 memorial, at the Statue of Liberty, out in the ferry boat. I could go on and on, but, and I'll do that. I'll tell everybody where we went, what we did on another show. But you're right, Craig. It was really the weather that was great. Bob, bad news, Ryder Cup. Overall, bad news. What about you? Give me something good.
Ray, I've attended 10 Ryder Cups, several in Europe. I've seen what the crowds, how they react to opposing teams. This was easily the most forgetful spectacle in golf that I've ever been associated with. I didn't have to be there in the crowds listening to the comments. I heard enough of it on social media and recorded, et cetera, et cetera. But but back to what Craig was alluding to, he's absolutely right. It took too long for the PGA of America to respond to the problem. And in crisis management, when you're facing these type of things, you don't wait days for this. You respond to it. And that's unfortunately, that's what happened. The good of the Ryder Cup to bring money into the association to help programs, to bring charitable donations, et cetera, gets lost in dismally in the dust. That's
Yeah.
not what's happened here. The economic impact to the state of New York was over $200 million, according to some Forbes and Business News I found, as opposed to 26 years ago when the 1999 Ryder Cup at Breck Brookline, which received its own share of fan bad behavior, brought in $150 million to that area. So that shows you how much the risen the economic is have changed over the years, but the thrust was on something else. It wasn't on taking care of the game this past week. And that's the bad part. I can't walk away from this and say there was good things that hang out there in my mind. The best thing I think I saw was the way the European team and its captain held up resiliency
Yeah.
to what they were facing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible. And here's the thing. When we say it was terrible and we make a passing comment, we're not just minimizing, we're not just throwing out a word. Folks, I was there. What would you like to know? If you were there, write to me, golfadams@msn.com. If you were not there, then don't comment because you were not there. Now, if you watch it on TV, great. Welcome your comments. GolfAdams@msn.com. It was the number one most sad. It was sad. Ryder Cup, maybe in all of history. Bob, where am I going wrong? Was it the worst in history?
From what was happening outside the ropes, yes.
And
That's easily, that's easy right there. That's easy.
okay, and here's the thing. We've had not just the president comment, we've had the CEO of the Ryder Cup comment. Craig, what about the CEO of the Ryder Cup or of the PGA of America? Forgive me.
Well, the actions that we got from leadership was their head was kind of stuck in the sand, and in my opinion, it just fueled this, only making it worse because there were people, there was social media, there was everything else that's going on. People that were watching on TV could hear it. As I said, the announcers talked about it for 2 full days, how bad it was, and yet our leadership would say it's not that bad. It's something you might hear at a youth soccer game. Okay, really? That's your answer to that? As I've said to you twice, on Friday, the only at our at the premier golf event, our premier event that that I'm a part of, the organization I'm a part of, all I see is people with badges on. Do you want to see people with badges everywhere? Do you see it at the US Open? Do you see it at the World Series? Do you see it at the Super Bowl? No. This is what we have to see at a golf event. Really? A
Yeah.
golf event.
Yeah. You
I mean,
know, all I can tell you is, and I agree, it was a bad event, but your CEO of the PGA of America had some comments. Bob, what about those comments? Do they do anything to help us at all, or did they smooth over the top?
the first one I saw was on Wednesday, Ray, not Monday.
Well, whenever you saw them, what about those comments?
My point is the delay. It didn't
Yeah,
help.
yeah.
That's the point. Craig already expounded to it very eloquently. And I'm just saying, when you have a crisis management in a public relations situation, especially on the scale of what this is, you don't wait that long. You react to it right then. Otherwise, it's going to mushroom. And it did mushroom.
Now, when you look at it, there was comments that the fan response, the fan behavior, the outrageous attacks on Rory, his wife. Didn't somebody throw a beer can at her, Bob?
It was, if you look in slow motion, and I've studied this just as many other people have studied it, the person was holding the drink Someone hit his arm. It goes flying over in the direction and it hits the front brim of Erica's hat or that she's wearing. And she turns around and Rory reacts to it. Well, he came running down ahead of that. If you watch the entire clip, cheering as they're getting closer to watching their compatriots finish the match as they get down there. That's the purpose of what they were doing down there, watching their teammates. And that's how it all happened. But the point I'm trying to make is, Ray, and we said this on the last show, zero tolerance is the way to handle of this nature. I have a friend who works for the PJ of America who is not in law enforcement. He had security with him. He personally had 22 people ejected, and you don't hear about that as well, too. But that happened for him as a staff member.
Well,
I've never been in that position ever, and I was working inside the ropes for five Ryder Cups, walking with groups. I never had to point to a security man and said, get him out of here because he was halting up play. But it did happen at Bethpage.
hey Ray,
Yeah.
during the press conference, I believe Sunday night, one of the questions that Rory took was, did you ever feel like your life was in danger? How often do you think sports figures are asked that after one of their events?
Never.
But that was something that they wondered if Rory even felt that. Do you think John McEnroe felt that while he was on the tennis court? Did Reggie Jackson feel that when he was playing baseball? Hank Aaron, you know, but this is what that some reporter thought that maybe this is something that this is what they're asking one of the greatest golfers of all time. They're asking him this question. And we think this is supposed to be the premier golf event. And yet somebody's thinking, was your life in his danger? And we think that this is something that you might expect to hear at a youth soccer event.
All
Good
right,
point.
we're being joined by one of the great swingers, PGA Tour player, winner. We're being joined right now, gentlemen. Dr. Bob Denny is our PGA of America historian. Craig Renshaw is our PGA of America member, and everybody knows and welcomes our friend Tom Pertzer to the show. Tom, welcome to the show. And Tommy, you need to open up your microphone. Okay. So we're ready for Tom whenever he's ready. And we're going to keep going right now. You know, one of the marquee, you know, you look at Sunday and you look at the singles matches. When you do, you see an American team that really rallied. I mean, they did a big deal. There was no comeback because if you come back, it means you win. So they didn't have a comeback, but what they did is they played very well. They rallied. They won a lot of matches. The European team, you know, wins the Ryder Cup outright. They didn't tie to retain. They won outright. Shane Lowry does his Irish jig on the green. We love. But you're looking at a Ryder Cup that Sunday wouldn't have been the way that it was if Saturday night the European team didn't know and the rest of the world didn't know that they had already won. It was over. From the Friday matches and Saturday matches, it was over. Saturday night, Europe had won the Ryder Cup, outright won it. Now, you still got to go through Sunday matches, singles, but the European team, the players would have come out totally different in those Sunday matches than they did. America had to come out the way they did. So they did it. We applaud them. Europe did came out a bit complacent. They were tired. All they needed to do was have a couple of three or four matches and they win the Ryder Cup. Now I'm going to go over to our great friend, Tom Pertzer. Tom, you're coming into the middle of it. Craig Renshaw is here. Dr. Bob Denny from PGA of America is here. My buddy, Don Ray is being hammered up and down, right and left. And I don't want to defend anybody, but I don't want to offend anybody. Don is a man of faith. He's been my friend for 20 years. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I ask you, you're coming in as a third party to the radio show. You're coming in as a former player. You're coming in as one of the great, great swingers of golf in history. Can't wait to hear your take on all this. Go.
Well, I think it's like everybody else said. I was disappointed with the fans in New York, and but if you think about it, every time a major is held in New York, there's issues with
Is that okay, Tom? Is it okay that they are historically known for being who and what they are and the way they react? Is it okay just to give them a bye, or do we move forward in the future and have a zero tolerance? If you do it, we're not only ejecting you, but we're arresting you. You tell me, where am I going wrong?
No, I agree. I mean, I think just because majors are held in New York, you can't just let them do whatever they want to do. And I think it's just gotten worse. It defeats the purpose of the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup is to bring
Yeah.
everybody together in a great setting for match play and this and that and I think we're all disappointed. I think Watson sent a little letter to
Yep.
I think that's basically the theme of or the thought of pretty much all the players that we're watching and the fans. I mean, you can't give the just because it's in New York, you can't give them a break. When you think about it's a little bit that way when they play in Europe too. Obviously not as bad as it turned out, with the F-bombs flying and this and that was
Well, I was in
totally
Rome.
uncalled
I
for.
was in Rome, Tom, and I can tell you there was nothing there like this. Did the fans throw out a hurl or two of this or that or another? They did, but it was nothing like this.
Yeah,
No, but
well.
nobody told anybody like they told Shane Lowry was fat. No one said to Rory, and they did. And I'm talking about not talking about Rome. I'm talking about New York. This week, this past week, they never said your Masters win was a fluke, and on and on and on it goes. And the terrible, horrible, filthy, dirty language. You know what? Everybody can stand in line and kiss my royal for your filthy, dirty language. You New York people need to finish it. I was there for a week. I had nothing but wonderful people, wonderful experiences, great times, not just at the Ryder Cup, but all over New York City. I love New York City. I love New Yorkers. But you New York fans that did what you did at the Ryder Cup need to get out, get away, get done. We don't like you. We don't want you. You're over. You're finished. You're done. Now, Tom Pertzer, where am I going wrong?
I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can top that, right?
Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah, it's disappointing that in a match with this magnitude worldwide, that
Yeah,
this is what this is. Yeah, this
billion
is.
people watching.
Yeah, this is what we show. And I hopefully the rest of the world doesn't think that the rest of the country, acts this way. It's just disappointing. But again, I don't know what they expected. Every time there's a major in New York, this kind of happens. The
Now,
opens when they have the opens there and stuff, same stuff happens.
the CEO of the PGA of America came back, defended Bethpage, said they're going to have another major. There's no plans to change it. Bob Denny, what about that?
1958, Ray, Eugene Burdick wrote a book called The Ugly American, and it had nothing to do with golf. It had to do with we were perceived in our diplomatic corps in Southeast Asia, and I'll let that stand, but where it was. But to me, we exactly what I'm picking up what Tom said. We come across on the perception of anybody tuning in as an ugly American because of the minority that's out there saying those kind of things. In 1999, at Brookline, there was crowds unmercifully treating and spitting on Monty. Colin Montgomery and his family.
Oh,
His
yeah.
father was so shook up he had to leave the golf course. A lot of things happened, obviously, in that realm. I'll leave it at that. But that's the northeast part of the country we're talking about, okay? And I don't know if it's because it's Boston, New York, we see those kind of things. But if you encourage to have crowds revving up in partisanship, you got to be ready for handling what's going to happen as a result of that.
Yeah.
And the marketing was always be roaring, be cheering, be ready for our American crowd. But as you can see, it had its own ability to backfire.
Craig Renshaw, do we ever have another event at Bethpage? And is your CEO from the PG of America totally, completely out of it? Does he not understand just how bad this was, and that it carries through history, not the next couple months or a few weeks, but for history? When you think Bethpage, you think bad, bad, bad on you. Craig, is he wrong for defending it and going back to Bethpage in the future? I think they changed the venue for future majors from Bethpage and put Bethpage out 25 years just
Well,
because of what they did.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I would pull a lot of events from New York. That's me. I know it's not positive the way to look at this, but didn't we have a President's Cup recently at Liberty National? Did we have this kind of stuff there?
No.
So
No, we did not.
that's New York area. So they can behave sometimes, but they can't. This is us. This is my organization. We did a bad job.
We did a bad thing, Tom Pertzer. All right, so let's go from bad to better. What about the matchup where the two captains shook hands privately, apparently, and said, let's put world number one and world number two together on Sunday. What about it? What about that matchup? And Scottie Scheffler, was Rory tired, or would have he given more? But we saw maybe the greatest matchup that could be at a Ryder Cup.
Well, for me, that's the dream matchup for these whole for all the matches. You wanted to see, but I think didn't they all play every match?
Yeah, they were both exhausted.
Yeah, I mean,
They were all tired.
yeah, and the mental part of that, not just physically tired, but mentally tired. And but for me, the whole thing is, we don't play four balls, and we don't play the team things very good. And I
Why
think,
not? Why don't we play four balls and foursomes and teams? I mean, why don't we, Tom?
well, I don't we don't ever play it. It's like, I think, didn't they all, when they grow up, aren't Sundays at clubs there? Alternate shot.
Yeah, it's all a match play format, but we don't play it here. We play singles, we play individual glory, call it, and we're just not ready for it. But even that, over 70 years, Bob, how long ago we had the right? I mean, you would think by now we would figure out that, hey, this is how it goes, Tom.
Just to interject, Ray, this matchup between Rory and Scotty was not intentional. It was happened by chance.
How do
And
you know that?
you can check with by going back to the captains. You can go back to Kerry Haig. You can go back to anybody running the pairings in that trailer, and they were not set up initially to pair themselves up for that match. And I stand by that. I
I'm
stand by that.
shocked.
No, that's
I'm
true. That's
shocked that
true.
we would have that kind of a
Yeah.
lottery outcome, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine if he's got it.
That's part of the captain's agreement. When you've put in your pairings, at that you're not going to give anybody an example of an
Okay.
advantage. It has to be it's a blind draw.
All right,
Okay?
so we had
We
a
leave it at that. We leave it at that.
so
Okay?
Sunday, so Sunday singles, Tom Pertzer. The Americans came roaring back. But they did it because the Europeans, I think, were tired and that they knew they already won it Saturday night. Don't you think they knew they already won?
Well, I kind of disagree with you a little bit.
Please.
They have no, they knew they were going to win, so they had no pressure. Well, I don't mean no pressure, but they had a lot less pressure on them than the Americans did. The Americans, they all knew that they had to. Every one of them had to win their match, and the Europeans knew that they only had to win two or three matches, and that it was over out of the
Yeah.
12. So, that takes. The way I think, that takes a little bit of pressure off of them, knowing that, how close they were to winning to start the day. For me, the whole thing, they did a great thing, what, a month ago or 5 weeks ago, where they actually played a tournament with and had this same format, which was, I think, I don't know what the word is. It's such a great idea. I don't know whether they've done this every year for the Ryder Cup, that they've had an actual tournament where they played this same format, like 5 weeks ago, and they saw how guys performed and who performed good with team wise. I don't know why we wouldn't do something like that.
All right, Tom, let's hang on here for just a second. Don't move. Craig is right there. I want Craig's take on that. Bob, get us up to speed on what they did.
The European team came over ahead of time, had at least 2 to 3 rounds at Bethpage, did follow what Tom said of the alternate shot in their practicing. They also acclimated themselves to other golf courses around Long Island. They didn't have to worry about coming in late, and they were at ease and acclimated by the time they rolled out on Friday.
Craig, were the Europeans more prepared and did they come in wanting it more, playing it more, practicing it more? Were the Europeans in a position where they wanted it more, they practiced more, and they were going to win it? Do you think they knew that they would, or at least they knew they had a big, big, big advantage the way they came in? What about it?
Well, I think, 2 years ago it was a major goal. They knew that. I think it's a goal every time, but this was something that, in lack of a better term, Luke and Rory were putting their stamp on their legacies this way. And they wanted this, and they were going to do everything in their power to make sure that they were, dotting their I's and crossing their T's, and they did it. I think the Ryder Cup matters to us. I think we try hard and all that stuff. But they just came across a little bit better and did the things that needed to do better than we did. Like I told you the other day, I at the end of the day we lose by 2 points. I'm not and with everything that doesn't bother me that much. 2 points here or there. There's so many other things that we didn't even get to as far as the course conditions, even though it hadn't rained in a while, and some of the pairings and stuff like
Right.
that. That's one match here or there, and it's 14-14. So to me, that's close. I mean, that match is that's nothing at the end of the day.
Tom Pertzer, if you're the Ryder Cup captain, Keegan Bradley has come out and said that he made a big mistake setting up the course the way that he did. That the greens were way softer than he ever believed they would be. He was shocked by how soft the greens were and that it gave the Europeans a big advantage. If you're the Ryder Cup captain, and you probably should be one, and I say that, why not? Really,
I don't know.
why, wait a minute.
I never won a major, and that's
I don't care if you won, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You're one of our great players, one of our great. Members of the tour over the years, You're a player of history. All of that's got to stop. What needs to start happening is who is going to go in and win the Ryder Cup? Because the Americans can't win. We don't know how to win. They're in our,
Well,
Nick Faldo said they're in our head. Okay, so how do you set up the golf course differently if you're the Ryder Cup captain?
I think, when the rains came, it changed the golf course totally. But my whole thing was, I can't believe how short they made it play. That was my first thought. When you're playing 17 and it's an 8 iron, 170 yards, and then 18 was a driver and a flip. I mean, that's not, I don't know why they would want to set the golf course up like that. I would make it as difficult as it could be. And I just think, to backtrack a little bit on what Bob was saying, the golf tournament that I'm talking about is they actually had. They picked 12 players from, I think, from the UK, and then 12 players from, I don't know, another part of Europe. I'm not exactly sure where, but it was an actual tournament where they played in Europe. And I'm thinking it was five weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks before the actual Ryder Cup. But they played an actual tournament where they mirrored exactly what they were going to do, and that's brilliant on his part for doing that. I just that seems like something we should do over here. So to get them acclimated to playing team events, we just don't play team events,
Don't we play team events though the year before in President's Cup?
And we've
well,
played
yeah.
them for 25 years in the President's Cup. There
And
are.
Europe plays every other year and we
And what
play
about
every
the
year.
U.S.
So
Am What about
don't
the
we play
U.S.
more
Am
often?
What about the U.S. Amateur, Tom? Don't we play match play in the U.S. Amateur? And we do it every year. And some of the greatest players in history play match play at the Am.
Well, match play is a lot different than alternate shot or playing best
It's
balls and stuff
true. It's
like
true.
that. When for me it was team stuff was always hard because you didn't want to let your partner down. The pressure of just being in the like in the Ryder Cup would be enough, but then when you playing for your partner and your country, it makes it that much more difficult.
Tom, do the Americans care?
Oh yeah, I there's not one guy on that team that wouldn't have. They'd trade a win, any tournament win for a Ryder Cup victory. No question about that. There's no way that the Europeans want it more than the Americans. No
All
way.
right. Okay. You know what? I'm so glad to hear that because so many people say differently. They say, well, the European players would rather win a Ryder Cup than win a major. But you're saying no, the American team and those players feel the same. They want to win it just as much.
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's a doubt in that.
Okay. All right, Dr. Bob, I'm going to let you take off. Maybe you have a nugget or a question for Tom Pertzer.
Well, I was just looking at the Ryder Cup captains who've never won a major. And there's only one in the US side, and that's Steve Stricker. And on the European side, Luke Donald, Paul McGinley, and Colin Montgomery.
Why can't Tom Pertzer be a captain? And by the
I
way,
would, I wouldn't even be in a conversation for
if
that.
they called you, you would say, yes, I believe it, and I would want you to.
Oh, well, yeah, I would say yes, but
What
my
about Larry Nelson? Why
oh
hasn't Larry Nelson ever been chosen?
that's for me, that's the biggest travesty of that he wasn't. I mean, he
But
had
why, Tom? Why?
I think he's too soft-spoken, too quiet.
Did he make somebody mad somewhere?
Larry hasn't made anybody mad in a 30, 40-year career.
I don't think so.
No, he's as nice a gentleman as you could ever imagine.
All right, so going on to Spain, right, Bob? We're going to Spain. Where are we
For the right.
going in 2 years? I think we're going to Spain.
No, we're going to Adair Manor.
That's what I said. We're going to
Oh.
Ireland. You didn't hear me. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. That's right. We're going to Adair Manor. All right. So if they call Larry Nelson, should they call him Tom?
No, it's it's he's past his.
Why?
I thought it was great what
But why is he past? He's only what, 70 whatever? Why? What is he, too old?
No, but I just think he wouldn't. I'm not sure that he would relate to the young guys.
I'm sure, but maybe he would put the fear of God in him.
No, I think what they did for him this year, I thought was pretty cool. You know,
Okay, yeah.
that they had him involved, and
He was an ambassador.
yeah, that was awesome. I thought that was kind of the
All right,
neatest
so
thing.
you are the Ryder Cup committee chairman, and you're going to make the phone call for the next Ryder Cup captain. Who is it, Tom? Who should it be? Give
Well,
me two or three options.
I think Tiger will do it pretty soon. I think that's the logical next
Well,
captain.
he said no to this one.
Yeah, I think maybe he thought that he might still be able to play or something. I don't
Now, you
know.
know they're going to win in Ireland. Does he want to, at Adair, does he want to be the losing captain?
Well, wait, you don't know that.
I
They
don't know anything except for the history.
we may have an epiphany that and I think what you said earlier that Nick said they're definitely in our heads.
They are in it. They're in our head.
Yeah, and I mean with the successes that they've had in the past Ryder Cups, they've got all the confidence.
Who
They've
else is captain? Let's say that Tiger Woods decides to wait until 4 years.
I don't know. Ask Bob that question. He's more up
Well,
on
I'm asking you.
he's more up on I don't there's I would say there's a lot of guys that
Who are two or three that ought to be captain, that should be captain, could be captain? Do we bring Zinger back? Do we bring Paul
no.
Azing? We don't bring him back.
No.
Okay.
I know.
So who do we name as captain? Two or three options. Bob, Tom is going to think about it, but I am coming back to you. And
Well, I
then
think,
Craig, I want
okay.
you to go first.
I'm breaking down a couple old barriers of, I don't know what they call them, their decision making, but I'm either going to go with Justin Leonard or Fred Couples.
I would Fred Couples. I think Fred would make a great. He's
Well,
really.
happy birthday to Fred Couples. He and I have today, October 3rd, our birthday, Tom.
No way.
Yeah, it's our birthday.
Cool. Yeah. I thought before when you said that, I thought Fred would do a great job. I mean, he President's Cup, he did great jobs there. And the players love him. So I would, and he's very low key. I think he'd be a great pick.
All right, let's hold it right there. Craig Renshaw's coming right back with us. I got to get Craig's answer. We're going out for a break in three.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theTClip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for a great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Thank you, folks, for a great break. Thank you for listening to the sponsors. They have so much to offer you, and they make this show happen. We appreciate them so very much. And I want to thank figolf.com, figolf.com, founded golf. You put a sticker on the end of your club, got a QR code if you leave your golf club anywhere. Tom Pertzer, have you ever left a golf club anywhere?
Oh, for sure.
So if you put a sticker on the end of your club and it's got a QR code and someone finds it and they scan it in to the app and they let you know they've got your club, that would be cool, right?
That'd be a great idea.
Figolf.com, folks. They've done it. They've got it. They're patenting it. It's over. Figolf.com. Thank you so very much for them. I want to thank Halo and CertaFreshCigar.com. CertaFresh was all over the Ryder Cup in their proprietary tubes powered by Boveda. CertaFresh Cigar can customize your tubes for your nonprofit, your corporate outings. Everything you need, greatest cigars on the planet at CertaFreshCigar.com. All right, Mr. Craig Renshaw, who's the Ryder Cup captain in 2 years?
Oh, maybe let's try Stuart Sink or David Toms.
Wow, David Toms.
Why not?
No, I mean, in Sink, I mean, I love Stuart Sink. He's a great guy, man of faith. He was victorious over Tom Watson in that British Open Championship.
We can't hold that against him, though.
Well, everybody does. Everybody does, Tom. So what do you do about it? What about Stuart Sink? I think that's a good captain's choice.
He'd be great. I mean, he would be very diligent for sure.
Do you want a captain, Tom? Do you want a captain that's tough? Do you want a captain that is unrelenting? Do you want a captain that lays it down on the line? Or do you want a namby-pamby around with relationships? I don't mean relationships are namby-pamby, but do we want a more stern hand in a Ryder Cup captain now that we can't win? We've lost so much. You tell me.
What good is that going to do, though? I mean, I think you want to – I don't think you want to be tough on these guys. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but, you know, I think, you know, you just try and – you just try and get them to perform at their best. And I don't know whether, you know, if you're a football coach, yeah, maybe, but I think this is a different way. I think you got to handle each player differently.
Here comes a question. Tom Pertzer comes a question. They paid the Ryder Cup American team. Was that a detriment to them? And did the European team use that to their benefit?
Could have. I don't really know. I mean, I don't know.
Do you get paid to be a Ryder Cupper in America?
Well, those 12 guys have enough money for the rest of the money doesn't. I'm surprised that.
Then why pay them?
Well, I'm surprised that last year they made such a big deal about it. And
right.
And I guess it was Patrick that kind of spurred that on. But
so why give in?
You know what I think? I think it's the manager's issue more than the players. I don't think the players could have cared less if they were getting paid.
Yeah.
I think the managers came out and they kind of snowballed that. And you know, I have issues with managers. I think they're not they're not good for the game, I don't think. But
managers not good for the game.
Maybe
I totally agree.
Maybe that's just another great decision on the PGA's leadership, right?
Yeah. So when you look at the PGA of America, did they add to and multiply, or did they subtract and divide, Tom? I'm not trying to cause a controversy at all. Not trying to say anything bad about anybody. We're so behind all of the organizations and everything they do to grow the game. But at the end of the day, they did have a choice, and they made their choices. And, you know, you tell me.
Well, I don't know. I don't really think you can blame Don for any of this.
No, I don't think so either.
No, and I'm not saying you do, but I read and, you know, and online where, you know, Don's catching a lot of flack, and
he is.
It's up to the individuals that come out to the golf tournament to behave, you know, and you know right from wrong. You know what's okay and what's not okay. Golf is a gentleman's game, and this particular tournament is supposed to bring people together, not. Drive them apart. And I think the lead up to Ryder Cups is too big. You know, there's too much how it's life and death anymore. And it's not. It's just supposed to be a match to, you know, and I don't want to say a gentlemanly match, but it's supposed to be, you know, to pull the players, pull the countries. There isn't supposed to be the angst that is taking place in this tournament. And I think the media has a little bit of fault for this. And I don't know. But as far as the PGA, I mean, you know, they can only set the tournament up, and I thought they did a nice job of that. My big contention is I thought the golf course played too easy. And you know, my last thing,
and it really did, Tom. It played way too easy, but we set that up in such a way where Keegan Bradley said, "I made a big mistake," because that golf course is normally narrow fairways, big rough, difficult greens and dry.
Yeah, one of the hardest golf courses that any major's played on.
On the earth. And it turned out that Keegan widened the fairways. He lowered the rough. The greens were super soft. Why would he do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe, obviously, he just thought that would be the best way for them, for their team to win. I got a question for you all. How about Robert McIntyre not giving that putt to Sam Burns on the last hole?
Yeah. Bob?
Is that just me?
I think it made a statement. Go ahead, Bob.
It definitely made a statement. He'd been heckled as the Pillsbury doughboy at several holes, and I think he was getting tired of it.
Oh, okay.
Craig?
I guess he's never seen Jack and Tony, the concession. That,
yeah.
You know, the thing was over. The tournament was over. And now Sam Burns, he's going to relive that time and time again. I was disappointed in that particular move.
Well, how far was the putt and what happened?
Well, it was about a, I don't know, 4 or 5 footer. And that was, yeah, if he misses that, then the match is square, right?
Yes.
Because he was one, you know, he was one up going the last hole. So I guess I can see that, you know, he didn't want to lose that match. But still, I just thought it was a little, I don't know.
And how did it all end, Bob, on that match? What was the end of the match?
It was a miss.
Yeah, Sam missed the putt.
No, I know he did, but what happened at the end? What happened at the next hole?
No, that was the last hole.
Or oh, that was 18. I'm sorry.
The
Yeah, that was on 18.
match was tied.
So, you've got these Europeans that are half and half and half and half, and they knew that they were going to do that. And I say they knew. They presumed they would do it, and you've got to believe that, at the end of the day. But I think one of the highlights of the tournament, one of the highlights of the Sunday singles, one of the highlights of all Ryder Cups in history
Don't
is
say DeChambeau.
Shane Lowry's Irish jig. Tom Pertzer, what about it?
that was pretty funny, but
Jumping and jumping and dancing and jumping. And you gotta love Shane Lowry. I don't care who you are. You gotta love that guy.
yeah, it was, and that just shows you what it means to the players.
And what about DeChambeau? You mentioned him. What about him?
To me, he riled up the New York crowd as much as anybody did. What a comeback! What a great comeback he did! But I think he gets a little too carried away. But
He
that's just
only
me.
has a few outlets during the year on the big global stage. Do you think LIV and the PGA Tour finally needs to figure it out to give all these great players the biggest stages of the world? I mean, are we still where we were? Are we ever going to move forward? Tom,
You
what
don't
is
want
your
me.
make on that?
Yeah, you don't want me to answer this
I
question.
do. I want
No,
to hear
you don't.
everything from you.
All those guys, they made their decision. They knew that they were going to be gone from the tour. And I still blame Greg Norman, because I'm sure Greg Norman told all these guys, "Hey, we're going to get you back on. You're going to be able to play the tournaments on the States." To me, it's like, these guys made their choice. They got the big money. Again, going back to the manager thing, I think a lot of these players were in, their play, their managers had a big deal to do with this, with them jumping to live. So that's just my take.
Craig Renshaw, DeChambeau qualifies for the Ryder Cup on his own with only a handful of events. Really, how great is that when you look at it?
Well, it's a very nice accomplishment, obviously. He's doing what he can on fewer events, and if he earns his right, more power to him. So, good for him.
All right, we're only going to have another couple of minutes, but I want to get back to Tom and Bob. You help us out. Craig, I want you right there. What about the envelope rule? Hovland is injured. He has an MRI on what, Saturday night? My wife can't get an MRI on her finger, which she broke for 3 weeks, but he gets it in a couple hours. Sorry. Whatever. And there's no match on Sunday. And they sacrifice the American player. Bob will tell us. What about this envelope rule, Tom?
Well, I didn't. To me, it's if you can't play, you lose your point.
Yeah,
It's
but
like,
they have the points.
what do you mean? Well, I know they have them, but I'm just saying,
So
if
that means Europe went up another half, and with their big lead, they didn't care. They're now closer to the win.
right. So what happens if four of those guys go, "Oh, I'm hurt, I can't
Yeah,
play"?
yeah.
The thing's over. It
It's
just
over.
If you can't, it's like you brought up the U.S. amateur. If you can't play, if you get hurt in your match there, you lose.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe you could have an alternate or something. I don't know. Come in and play. But I just think if the fella can't play, he doesn't get a half a point. He gets no point.
Bob?
Well, Tom was right on one thing. The President's Cup does have an alternate that comes into play. That's in their rule book. I think the envelope rule is played out as time. It's over with. It's antiquated. It's happened three times in history, beginning with Gil Morgan and Mark James back in 79, then 91 with Steve Pate, and 95 with, excuse me, 93 with Lanny Watkins in the envelope. And Sam Torrence couldn't play because he had a turf toe or something like that having at the time. So that's played its way out. In the Solheim Cup, they give a point to the other team if the other person cannot play. So I think it has to be looked at. I think it has to arrive at a common bond here. I'm in favor of an alternate coming in if they have to, if they don't want to give any other team the advantage of that being injured or illness prior to singles.
Greg, did the USA lose the Ryder Cup or did the European team win the Ryder Cup? And I can't wait to hear Tom Pertzer and
Europeans
Dr.
won.
Bob. Go ahead.
Europeans won. The Europeans won, won, won. They beat us up and down the golf course. They deserve everything that they got.
Tom Pertzer, did we lose it along the way or did they beat us?
We lost it in the team play. We didn't lose it in the single play. We only lost two matches, I think, and on Sunday,
One. Yeah.
one match. So, yes, they won the cup, but it was over from the team play. They have for some reason, they have a huge advantage in the team play. And I think it goes back to, we do play that same kind of that same format in the President's Cup, and we do good there. So I don't really know. The single play, we dominate, we play great. Sundays, we're killers. It's just the team play. They've got to figure out some way to. And my suggestion would be to do exactly what they did and have a tournament ex with the same format, just a prep. That would be my suggestion for whoever's next captain.
Right.
All right, so Bob, go ahead.
And I think my alternate view is the Ryder Cup was lost the moment Luke Donald accepted the captaincy because he knew exactly what to do with the messaging. He absolutely knew exactly how to make the players at ease and comfort and play at their best. That's what he was doing. That's the value of a captain in this element. He gave them the opportunity to be relaxed, calm, cool. His messaging was terrific, especially from the opening ceremony.
Yeah. Well, I was in Rome and now I was in New York at Bethpage this week for the Ryder Cup. And I got to tell you, Luke Donald goes down in history as one of the greatest Ryder Cup captains ever. They're saying that they should invite him back to be Ryder Cup captain again. I say no. It's over. He should retire on a high. He goes out as the greatest of all time. Who's the Ryder Cup captain at Adair Manor in 2 years, Tom Pertzer, for Europe? Who do you think?
For Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care.
I love it. I love it.
I couldn't care less. I like Bob's suggestion of Freddie. I think Freddie would be a great captain.
I think Fred
Wait,
Couples should be the captain
yeah,
of the US team.
I have one question for Bob. Bob, how many U.S. Ryder Cup captains have had two chances? Have had like back to back, like. I'm trying to think if there has been.
That it was Walter Hagen.
I was going to say, it just seems like our guys are one and done. And to your point, Ray, it seems like, the first year that the guys do it, they learn a lot, and maybe their second year, the second time they
Yeah.
are captains, they would do things different. I think every captain that I've that I've heard listened to afterwards has said that they would do things different. Some things.
Do we give Keegan Bradley another shot?
I thought he did a great job, but outside of the setting up the golf course. But I mean, I think, you know, what I think is they learn a bunch by doing it once, because they don't have any experience going into it unless.
No.
Maybe Keegan was an assistant.
Well, if you played the Ryder Cup, you do, but and you saw the captains and the co-captains. Bob, I don't know. Do we give Keegan another shot at it?
I think we have to look for something new. And also, I believe in Europe, they're sort of talking about Justin Rose coming in.
Yeah. Well,
as a captain?
He's another great captain's pick.
Well, he'll be playing.
Well, he's still got game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I no think kidding. In 2 years he's playing, but I think he's a great
yes.
pick or choice for a captain. He may be 4 to 6 years down the line. Let's find out. All I know is, gentlemen, thank you so much. Tom Pertzer, Craig Renshaw, Dr. Bob Denny, all of you, thank you so very much. We're going to do a couple of more Ryder Cup wrap-ups in the future shows this coming Monday night, day after tomorrow on the Golf Lifestyle Show. And then a week from today, again, on the wonderful Great American Golf Show. We're going to keep doing it. We are into a PGA Tour, Bob. We've got some events going on. We've started a new season. Tom, how weird is that? 15 seconds that we go from a Ryder to the DP World. They're finishing out their big year. The ladies are finishing out their big year. Champions are coming to the Phoenix Country Club with their big year finishing out. I'll be there next month. But my goodness, we're right back on a PGA Tour schedule. How quickly?
It makes no sense to me. You know, you start in January. You don't start in October. I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. I don't know that the tour. I just heard that there's no qualifying school on the Champions Tour.
Not anymore. They took it away.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's running that ship, but it's they need to figure out stuff.
Let's talk about that the next time. I can't wait for you to come back on, Tom Pertzer. Thank you so very much for being with us. Here's the guy with the greatest swing in PGA Tour history and one of the great, great commentators. And thank you, Tom, for our friendship. Thank you for our friendship and for our shared faith. I appreciate
you. You bet. Thank you.
There he is. Dr. Bob, last word from you.
I'm all for the game surviving. I think we went through a tough blow here. It was like a tough rainstorm out there on the coast. I'm hoping that we can blow through it, get through it, and get back to where we should be.
Let's get back where we were. We're going to talk Ryder Cup for a couple of weeks. We have to. It'll be all out there on the internet. Stay tuned to Match Play TV. One word, Match Play TV on my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube channels. You're going to see a bunch of videos from the Ryder Cup and from New York City and on LinkedIn, where I am Ray Adams. Ray Adams LinkedIn and Match Play TV, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. All of that. Thanks for following me. Lots coming. More going on. Play some golf. Have some fun. Check your overseeding if you're in the desert area and the warm states area, because your golf course might be closed for a couple weeks. Check it, and we'll be back with you on Monday, the Golf Lifestyle Show, day after tomorrow.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air checker tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.